God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Certainly, we thank him for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a wonderful blessing for us to be in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. And certainly to be in the house of the Lord once again and to share this space with you, this time that God has given us together that we can share this virtual space in the study of God's holy word. The word is still a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we are to hide the word in our hearts that we might not sin against the Lord. I thank God for the presence of Deacon McClain, Brother Abram, and Brother Evans this evening. And I do thank God for all of you who are viewing via church live stream and who will eventually view it through the Facebook church Facebook page and various ways that you will be able to view it. I do encourage you to stay in the Word of God because the Word of God is a foundation. The Bible says, not one jot or tittle shall pass from his word before heaven and earth passes. And so we thank God for his word. We thank God for all of you. We do solicit your prayers. We are still in the midst of a pandemic, and we need the Lord. We need God, and we need your prayers. We do ask that you pray for the Bryant family. Her daughter will be funeralized on Thursday. We do ask your continued prayers for the Lawrence family. Our brother Lawrence lost his brother, and they're funeralizing his brother on Saturday. And he needs your prayers and his family. We pray for the May family. One of our dear members' daughter lost her father, Brother May, and we pray their strength. And we do ask that you pray for the sick and afflicted. Pray for those who are affected by this COVID-19. This is a tough time, and it's a tough virus and a tough disease. And we do pray for those who have been affected by the COVID. Pray for pastors. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and you know, it's tough being a pastor, but it's what God has called us to. And ask that you pray for us. Pray for pastors all over the country, all over the world, who are standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you pray our strength. Also want to remind you of registration. Sunday opens Sunday at 5, and it will close at 3, excuse me, Sunday at 3, and it will close Friday at 5. Want to also encourage you to go online to the church's website and create a profile for our online directory. We want you to do that so we can be familiar with one another. And all of the members we have at this church, we need to know one another as much as we can. And so we have a new way of doing that, and that's through the online church profile that you will create, and that will be our online church directory. And we can communicate, get information out to you as we are changing due to the different things that come about. So we want you to make sure you go online and do that so we can communicate with you in that manner and in that fashion. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. It reads, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." That's God's word for God's people. God's word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy word. I want to talk about fear God more than man. Fear God more than man. The text is a continuation of the shift that has taken place in Matthew chapter 10. For in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has handed ministry to his followers, and he has sent them out into the hedges and highways, out among people to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He did not send them out powerless. He sent them out endued or endowed with power. He gave them authority to preach the gospel of the kingdom with effect, would make a difference. They were to preach. They were to be his witnesses. He gave them authority that no demon, not even Satan himself, would be able to stand against them, since they were his representatives. Jesus sent them out among people who hated him. The people who hated Jesus hated his followers and his messengers. According to Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." I like Jesus' straightforwardness that he shared with the 12, that he had empowered the 12 apostles of what they could expect, that they would be hated, they would be mistreated, there would be maltreatment, because they were not to expect treatment, better treatment than Jesus received. Nor should they ask exemption from what Jesus himself suffered. Look with me, if you will, at Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more shall they call them of his household? So if they have spoke ill of Jesus, Jesus was sharing with his followers, the apostles, that they will speak ill of you. So he was very straightforward in warning them of the maltreatment they would experience as being his representatives. Verse 26, Jesus said to the apostles, "Fear them not." Now, it has to be of importance because he shares the word "fear them not" several times in verses 26 through 31. Notice in verse 26, he says, "Fear them not." Verse 28, "And fear not them." Verse 31, "Fear ye not therefore." So he's telling them not to fear. Who are the them Jesus referred to in verse 26 and verse 28 and verse 31? The them in verse 26, verse 28, and verse 31, it refers to the opposers of Christ, wicked men, false teachers, Pharisees, and scribes. The very men who hated Jesus were religious teachers. And so Jesus said to his disciples, don't fear the religious teachers, don't fear wicked men, don't fear opposers of mine, don't fear false teachers. He says, don't fear, because you will only suffer as I suffer. And you can't suffer nothing worse than they would make Christ suffer. He said, fear them not. Fear them not. In all suffering, the Lord has promise ample support. That's a word for us today. In the midst of all of our sufferings, the Lord has promised ample support. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Ample support. I don't know how that makes you feel, but that makes me feel good that I'm never alone. That he's always with me. He's in the midst of my troubles with me. He leads me in, he leads me through, and he leads me out. The best picture I can give you of this is that of the three boys who stood for the Lord in Babylon. Their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were told to bow, and if they didn't bow, they would be thrown into the fire to burn. And they stood their conviction. And you've heard me say, when you stand up for God, God will stand up for you. When you stand up for Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will stand up for you. They were thrown in the fire, but they were not in the fire alone. When King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the flaming furnace, he didn't just count three men, there was a fourth man. That's right. will never leave you nor forsake you. So the ample support is in his presence. Don't miss that. Jesus says the same thing to the disciples in Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the ample support is denoted in his presence. The Lord is with us. Not only is the Lord with us, but the Lord is for us. That's good news. Because Romans chapter 8 verses 31 and 32, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So his presence is with us, but his provision is with us. His protection is with us. His power is with us. And I've been trying to convince us that we have all of the heavenly hosts on our side and we can't lose. So Jesus says, fear not, because you're part of a winning team. Fear not, because God's presence with you. Fear not, because of God's provision with you. Fear not, because God's power is in you. There's consolation and consternation right in the word of God. Right here in verse 26, we see both consolation and consternation. Consolation for the righteous and consternation for the wicked. Now, notice in the same word, in the same verse, there is both comfort and concern. In the same word, there is both delight and dismay. When the word of God goes forth, it will comfort some and concern others. That's why people sitting in the same place at the same time, hearing the same message, don't have the same response. Because there is consolation and consternation given out in the same word. Y'all help me here. The word of God deals with the coming judgment. That's what Jesus is talking about in verse 26. Jesus says he will bring into judgment every work, every secret thing, whether good or bad. In judgment, hear me, in judgment, sin will be revealed for what it is, and righteousness will be revealed for what it is. Judgment separates sin from righteousness. Jesus talks about the separation that will take place in the time of judgment, that the goats will be on the left and the sheep on the right. He talks about the separation that'll take place in the judgment. He says the wheat will be gathered and stored in the barns, and the tares will be gathered, bundled, and thrown into the fire. In judgment, righteousness will be revealed for what it is, and sin will be revealed for what it is. Notice what he said in verse 26. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. John chapter 5 verses 27 through 29 says, he has given authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done what is good will rise to life, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Jesus says, fear not, because everything that is covered shall be made known, and everything hid shall be made known. He's going to uncover. He's going to reveal it for what it is. My mind goes back to Matthew chapter 7. And he says, there will be many in that day who will call his name twice, Lord, Lord. And he will respond to them by saying, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They done good things in his name, but in heart they were wicked. There will be nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing hid that shall not be made known. He said, fear not, because there's a judgment coming. He gives perspective to this. Verse 27. He says, what has been said to them in the dark? Notice what he says. What has been said to them in the dark, they were to repeat in the light. Are you there with me? Verse 27. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. What has been shared with you in the private preparation time? What has been shared with you in private, your responsibility, he's speaking to the disciples, your responsibility, he's speaking to the apostle, your responsibility is to repeat it in the light, in the public. Hear me. They were only to preach what they heard from Jesus. Private hearing leads to public harrowing. Let me say that again. Private hearing leads to public harrowing. If there is no private ingestion, there is no public proclamation. That you have to spend some time with God so that God can speak to you through his word, and that you hear from God, you proclaim to the world. What is said to them in a whisper, in their ear, they were to proclaim aloud on the housetop. Now, the doctor who explained the law in Hebrew had an interpreter always by him, and whose ears he softly whispered what he said. He would whisper what he said. His interpreter spoke aloud what had been whispered to him. Did y'all get that? So, the doctor of the law explain to the interpreter the word of God, but he will whisper it in the interpreter's ear. and the interpreter would only say aloud what he had heard from the doctor of the law in his ear. That's why the Bible says, he that hath an ear, y'all missing me, let him hear what the Spirit, that God talks down into the ear. And what God speaks down into the ear in a whisper, we are like an amplifier. We are to make it loud. Watch him now. In the text, he says, speak it loud. But then he gives the position of preaching. He gives the position of preaching because preaching is not a private thing. Preaching is public. So he says, preach the word of God. What you hear in private, share publicly, share with all mankind, because when mankind hears the word, mankind is benefited. Keep nothing from mankind. Even if preaching gets you in trouble, if teaching the word of God gets you in trouble, keep nothing from mankind. He says, declare explicitly the whole counsel of God. In other words, don't just pick out a few things that will, you know, tickle the ear of people, but preach the whole word. And he says, not only speak it loud, he said, but elevate it. Put it on the housetop. Get in a place where they see you. Y'all see it? He says, speak it, preach it on the housetop, the elevation of preaching. I was thinking about this, and my mind went back to Ezra. When they made the platform for Ezra, that Ezra received the word of God and he was to proclaim it from an elevated position. Don't miss this. So we ought to elevate preaching, because preaching the gospel of the kingdom is the power of God unto salvation. He says to the apostles that they were to preach the gospel on housetop. So the gospel now, the gospel should be elevated. Preaching is a public event. It should be elevated. The houses in Judea were flat roof. Housetops were used for prayer, meditation, and for announcing things in the most public manner. That you would speak from the housetop, and it would carry. It would carry. And the intent of God is for the word to carry and to go into the four corners, to cover the whole globe. We read in Matthew 24 that the end times are not coming until the gospel has been preached to every nation. So we are to elevate the gospel. Every church, every Christian family should elevate the gospel. Now, there's several things about fear I want to share with you, and then I'll leave you alone. First of all, he says, in preaching the word, in sharing the word, fear no man. Right in verse 28, he says, fear not, men who can only destroy the body. So we are to fear no man. The apostles were to proclaim the gospel fearlessly. There is a price to pay for taking a stand for righteousness. There is a price to pay for preaching the word of God. The price is persecution. Now, the word fear refers to fright or terror. So he says, don't be terrified and frightened by men, because they only can do so much to you. Right in the word. Notice, whatever the enemies of Christ want to do, there is some things they can and cannot do. Here it is. Man can destroy the body. Our bodies are temporary. They are temporary. Man can destroy the body. Let me give you a few, examples. Man killed martyrs. Example, Cain killed Abel. Genesis chapter 4. Herod killed John the Baptist. Matthew 14. Sanhedrin killed Stephen. Acts chapter 7. King Herod Agrippa the First ordered James' death according to Acts chapter 12. And according to Peter's preaching, man killed Jesus. Let's look at it in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at it. Let's look at how it reads. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. It reads, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Men killed Jesus. Look at verse 23 again. "Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So there's something man can do to you. Man can destroy the body. But there's something man can't do to you. Man cannot destroy your soul. Our souls are eternal. The soul is only destroyed when it is separated from God. It's an eternal destruction. It's an ongoing, forever destruction. It's an eternal torment. You see it? So man cannot destroy the soul. So Jesus says, fear no man. In verse 28, he says, fear God. You see it? He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If I had time, I would deal with hell and how hell is presented. This is not the place now of hold. This is a place of torment. This is Gehenna. He says God is able to destroy the body and soul in Gehenna. See, destroying the soul is perpetual punishment. Don't miss that. It is perpetual punishment. Ongoing punishment. Listen, one thing about hell, hell's fire will never be extinguished. It'll never go out. It'll never burn out. It's an ongoing punishment. It's something that the people who will go there will never get used to. They will never die from it. It will be perpetual. He says, fear the one who's able to destroy the soul and body. Now watch this now. I want you to understand that there is judgment. There was wrath. There's wrath. Psalm 90 verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Listen to that again. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? So hell is from the presence of the Lord. Y'all missing it? And from the glory of his power. Now, what he's not saying is this. He is not saying that we should fear hell. Look at the text. It is not hell's fire we are to fear, but God. He says, fear the one. He didn't say fear hell. He says, fear the one. See, the love of God redeems from slavishness of fear. In other words, we're not to fear, we're not to be terrified of God because we are in a relationship with God. And when you understand the relationship, it's a relationship of L-O-V-E. And the Bible says love casts out fear. This is deep. But here it is. He's saying it. Don't fear hell. Fear the one. You know, so many people say, well, I'm saved to avoid hell. I don't understand that. What I understand is I'm saved to live eternally with God. I put it in another way because it is not fear that has caused my salvation. It is my acceptance of his love and my faith deposited that gives me the salvation. That I'm not saved by a fear factor or through fear, but I'm saved through love. That's why the Bible says, by his loving kindness have he drawn us. Y'all missing it. He has drawn us. I'm with him because he loves me and I love him. You don't want to go home to people you fear. You go home to people you love. I mean, if you're fearing, you're dreading going home. I'm not dreading going to heaven. I'm looking forward to going to heaven because I understand he loves me. And I love him. So we're not to fear hell. We are to fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul in Gehenna. Are y'all still with me? Now, we're not to fear God because God gives us special care. And he draws it out. He lays it out in verse 29 and verse 30. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father." Jesus tells the disciples or the apostles that he will watch over them. And he uses sparrows to illustrate his point. He says sparrows are cheap birds. The poorest people could offer unto the Lord a sacrifice with a sparrow because a sparrow was more affordable than a lamb, goat, or bull. He says, a sparrow is a cheap bird. You can buy a sparrow for a penny. And though a sparrow is a cheap bird, God is providentially involved when one of them falls to the ground. What Jesus is saying is this: God sees the sparrow when it falls. More than that, God, he has to give permission to the sparrow. Because the sparrow cannot and will not fall apart from the Father's will. God have mercy. So the sparrow falls because God willed it to fall. And if he didn't, the sparrow would not fall to the ground. See, people can't do anything God doesn't allow them to do. And if God allows them to do it, it's a part of his will, and he's working something in that. Y'all better tune in tomorrow morning now, because I want to share with you now how God is going to work this thing together. That God in his omniscience, God in his omnipotence, and God in his infinite being knows how to put it together. And whatever he allows, it's a part of his will. A sparrow falls to the ground because God wills for him to fall to the ground. He says, that's a sparrow, a cheap bird. He says, now if God is involved in the life of a cheap bird, you know God is involved in the life of his greatest creation. The only part of creation that he created in his own image and likeness. He says if he's involved in a sparrow's life, he's involved in your life. He says, let me show you how intimate God is with you. He says, God knows how many strands of hair you have on your head. God is just that close to you that he knows how many strands of hair you have on your head. I was teasing with Deacon Vincent earlier. I says, man, what do you do when you get older and instead of your hair thickening, it thins? And instead of it going forward, it goes. Y'all with me? He said, well, I don't know, Reverend. But God knows how many strands I have at all times. I forgot how many scientists say fall out a day. I want to say about 700 strands, they say, fall out a day. Maybe 70, I don't know. I can't remember. So y'all don't hold me to that. But I can remember reading it somewhere that so many hair strands fall out a day. And I said, well, God knows how many strands I have every day. You have every day. We're not to fear because God knows the tiniest detail about us. The tiniest detail. That God knows all about me. He knows all about you. And God send us out knowing all about us. He brought us to where we are and he's going to carry us on. And so he tells us not to fear. Now, I'm going to close with this. Verse 31 says, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He didn't say one. He says many. Now, listen to this. And this is my last statement, and I'm going to pray, and we gone. Fear affects faithfulness in evangelism. Do not fear men. Only walk in the fear of the Lord. Let me say it one more time. Fear affects faithfulness in evangelism. Do not fear men. Only walk in the fear of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time you have allowed us to share in this virtual space. We thank you for your word. Lord, speaking to us in private, that we will shout and say aloud to mankind in public. We only speak because we've been spoken to. Continue to give us your word that we can boldly declare it. That men, women, boys, and girls will receive it and be saved. Father, bless us in this pandemic. We thank you for the soul that you brought back home Sunday. And we know that there are many more souls to come. That you, Father, have been so gracious to show us, Lord, your power, provision and protection in this pandemic. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thank you. My heart, Father, is overjoyed because of your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for allowing us to stand as your representative. And I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate you and I thank you for it. And I pray, oh Father, that you give me ear tonight so that I can have mouth in the morning. Speak, Father. Bless your people as your word is going forth. Bless your people. Give them courage to receive it and share it. Father, I pray that you bless these your people here at the New Bethlehem Church. As our lives are being transitioned through various occurrences, sickness, disease, and death, Father, you remain faithful. And we can hold on. Our anchors will hold and grip the solid rock. And the rock is Jesus. Continue to protect us and keep us in our services. Continue to, oh Father, bless us, Lord, as we give ourselves to do your will. As always, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and our sinfulness. Be with us and never leave us alone. Bless the Bryant family, the Lawrence family. Lord, bless all that are bereaved. We pray for Sister Nebbit, asking you to strengthen her body as she's recovering from surgery. Lord, be with Miss Bernice, that she has several procedures coming, but Lord, we know that you are God of the breakthrough. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me give you one of these sheets.